In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I will never forget the day I knelt before an idol. Summer after graduating from high school, I was on a two-week trip to China with a group of people from our church teaching English. And it was the end of our teaching session, and on this particular day, we had a cultural activity outside of the classroom, a visit to a Buddhist temple. Now, I was teaching younger Chinese students and had made a couple of friends in the class, two boys in particular, who took it upon themselves to gather their friends and give me a special tour. So there I was with 12 kids shuffling from temple compound to temple compound, and with just enough English between us for me to make sense of what was going on. At the very last stop on this tour, one of them beckoned me to come kneel next to him before a giant Buddha. Now, I've thought for a long time about what was going through my head in that moment. I mean, me, a devout Christian, very committed to what makes our faith unique, obviously. But all I can say is that I found myself on my knees before I'd even realized it. And kneeling there for a few seconds, prayers started to bubble out of me. Prayers for these young Chinese hosts, for an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus in word and in deed. Prayers for them to know God's love for them and God's delight in them. Now, just as quickly as it began, it was over. I was off my knees. They whisked me away to a tea house, and over a game of cards, we had a surprisingly fluent conversation about Christianity, about God, about religion in China. So naturally, I was delighted. I mean, this was the conversation I had been hoping for. I got to tell them about Jesus. But when it was time to return to the bus, a leader who'd seen my apparent pagan devotion stopped me and gave me the sternest talking to that I can remember. In a few minutes, covering a surprising range of topics, she berated me from head to toe with verses of scripture spewing out of her alongside words like idolatry and mixed signals and confusion and compromise. I will never forget the day I knelt before an idol. But it was not that day. It was the next day. See, we had another cultural activity for the Americans, a trip to the Pearl Market, where for 2 hours, we had the chance to burn through a maze of consumerism, floor upon floor of stuff to buy with a favorable exchange rate and passable fakes. I mean, it was like an episode of Supermarket Sweeps, but with bartering. Who could find the best fake purse or watch or polo? Who still needed those graduation gifts of pearls, jewelry, clothes, musical instruments? God knows what else you could find at the Pearl Market if you knew where to look. And look, we did. So after about 2 hours, we piled back into the bus, arms bursting with the proof that we had been to China. It was at the Pearl Market, and not in the temple, that I knelt before an idol. See, I know myself well enough to admit that consumption is my usual quick fix for happiness, however briefly it lasts. And so not 24 hours after I shared the good news of Jesus, lover of the poor, Jesus, whose way is justice and peace, I disregarded the exploitative working conditions that were surely hiding just out of sight in this huge mall, and gave myself over to the compulsion to own something as proof of my existence and experience. To own something so that I could say who I am. Now, I know that we are Americans of particular means, which means that we are well acquainted with pulling out that consumerism whip for self-flagellation. That is not my point in sharing this story. My point is to share with you that my real idols were hiding behind Christian approval. That conversation about kneeling before the Buddha only clouded my vision about the God to whom I was really offering worship in the pearl market. And I think this is the point that Paul is making to us today. That our true idols, they loiter in the shadows of our private lives, often too unconscious even to be named. And so the hard work of prayer and discernment is to expose those idols to the light and to find ourselves liberated to God. Now, lest we think that Paul's time was somehow more simpleton than our own, let me assure you that the civic life into which Paul spoke was noisy, like Twitter noisy, almost too loud to hear oneself think. It was a context of trade and social polyculture, and so there were endless opportunities to associate. Social clubs, religious affiliation, trade groups, professional guilds, philosophical societies. And in terms of religious identity, Romans tended toward pragmatism, hedging their bets just in case they had aligned themselves with the wrong god, which meant that there were tons of gods and tons of occasions to encounter them, especially around food. Food sold in the marketplace would have been offered to a god before sale. Food served at a house party or potluck certainly would have been sacrificed to the household gods first before being brought to the table. So if you were a Christian convert desiring to be a part of the social fabric that surrounded you, it was pretty difficult to avoid food sacrificed to idols. So Paul wants to be clear to them and through them to speak to us. The food is not the issue. No, instead, Paul wants us to shake free from our usual, obvious, distracting hang-ups so that we can see the deeper reality. He implores us, don't let the food you're eating so preoccupy you that you aren't able to ask honestly, so what are the idols that I worship? For me, as I have confessed, my ability to purchase is my ability to define who I am. And that's why shopping at the pearl market felt for me so idolatrous. Not because consumption is by default worship of mammon, no. To adopt some reactive minimalism, which I have tried, only dresses the issue in new aesthetic. No, in that moment, I was laying down my offering before the idols of capital, asking that it make me me. And Paul wants each of us to discover that same idol within us, whatever it is called. See, for all of Paul's frustrating speech, I think his insight here is incredibly keen. He knows the creative ways that we hide our gods, his own cast in gold and self-righteousness. And he knows also the bewildering wholeness that comes with letting those idols go. Paul wants us to look beyond the presenting conventions of our religiosity to engage a deeper discernment. How may we follow the Spirit better through that ever-mutating terrain of God and other gods? Of course, the particular shape of that terrain will be different for each of us. My current idol is not yours, I'm sure, which means there can't be rules to follow, to our consternation. But I think the invitation that Paul gives us is just like the one that Jesus gives to the Samaritan woman at the well, that if we can taste of this water, we will discover it to be the water of life. Now, at this point in my time here at Palmer, you've probably noticed that most of my sermons end with a subtle pivot toward the altar, to our encounter with the risen Christ here in our gathering. And I am particularly struck today that we will not be able to name our idols, much less speak back to them, if we have not first encountered, however briefly, the abundant love of our Savior, the gracious reality He established in this world, the unrelenting welcome Jesus offers to you and to me, whatever our idols are. So I will say to you again, and probably again, come to this table and eat. Eat this sacrifice. Kneel before this God and discover here the rich love of one who knows you and cares for you and will never let you go. And then and only then, go with God's Spirit into your shadows, bringing Christ's light. Amen.